105 Parris Street in Denver, or visit us online at rhctherapy.com or inquire by calling 303-373-1188.
I'm 72 years old, and I'm enjoying the good life. Thanks to the people at Good Life International, along with good exercise, a healthy diet, and Good Life liquid supplements, I feel great and breeze through the day. You can experience the good life, too, by taking Mega Cardio Plus. To find out more, go to www.attackdisease.4tgl.com or call 720-494-GOOD. That's 720-494-4663.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. And our guest this morning is Mr. James Wasserman, who's written extensively about the secret architecture of our nation's capital. And most people go there, they look at the beautiful buildings and marvel, you know, at their symmetry and their presentation without ever understanding that there is a secret architecture. There are all sorts of symbols, there are all sorts of statues, and there are all sorts of paintings that all have significance to those people who've studied what goes on behind the scene, the mysteries. And certainly this whole issue has been brought up by Dan Brown's new book called The Lost Symbol. And of course, for those of you who haven't read it, it is, as Dan Brown's books are, a fascinating book, a fast-moving adventure story, but built against the backdrop of the fact that modern-day masonry is a repository of the ancient information, the mystery religions, the secret wisdom of all ages. In fact, the book opens with flyleaf flyleaf, one of the early pages, you know, before you even get into the book itself, has a quotation. It says, to be in the world and not understand the world is like being in a great library and not being able to touch the books. And, of course, that comes from a book called The Secret Teachings of All Ages, which we carry. Most people don't know who wrote the book, the significance of the book, but it is one of the most important books other than the Holy Scriptures that you will ever find. And we actually carry the book in our special research section, The Secret Teaching of All Ages by Manly P. Hall. And if you read Manly P. Hall, you will be able to get a glimpse of what the secret of all ages is and what this ancient wisdom is and how it applies to the architecture of our nation's capital. Mr. Wasserman, would you disagree with anything I said? Because, believe me, that's what talk radio is all about. It's for me to learn and for our listeners to learn. And is there anything I said that would not be fairly accurate?
No, Dr. Monteith, not at all. In fact, I'm delighted that you noticed and mentioned Manly P. Hall's book, highlighted in the Dan Brown new novel. Another one that I was really surprised to see is a book called The Kabbalion, that is claims to be written by three initiates, which is a ancient Hermetic text that I think Manly Hall would certainly have approved of, and it talks about some basic principles of reality that I think are common to many religions. I'm a tremendous admirer of Manly P. Hall. I believe that we may have discussed him the last time I was on the show. I heard him lecture during the early 1970s at the Philosophical Research Society. Right now, I'm working on a book that was published actually by the Philosophical Research Society, or reprinted by them, on Pythagoras, and they very generously allowed me to put Mr. Hall's introduction into my revised edition, and also Dr. Henry Drake, who served as Manly Hall's vice president of the Philosophical Research Society. It's a wonderful book. I think The Secret Teaching of All Ages may be the most important compilation of the wisdom teaching, certainly of the 20th century, and I certainly don't know anything that's been published in the last 10 years that's better.
Well, now, basically, you know, to the average individual, the name Pythagoras, I mean, you know, that's something goes back to our high school days. You know, it has something to do with of course, geometry. But people do not understand that the information that Pythagoras had gleaned, really from the ancient wisdom, is pivotal to our architecture of today, to mathematics today, the very foundations upon which geometry and trigonometry and calculus and ultimately the computer is based. Would that be a fair statement? Certainly if you're writing about Pythagoras, I mean, the average individual never gives either Pythagoras or his dictum a second thought, and yet it is seminal to actually so much of our modern-day science, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. And, you know, what I find interesting in Pythagoras is the religious and moral instructions that he gives, which I think are so profoundly beautiful, and they start to enter an area of universality between all of the religions, because he studied among the Egyptians and Persians, the Babylonians, the Kabbalistic Jews, and basically all of the secret societies and wisdom teachings that were around at the time, which was, you know, 600 BC, so that there's a universality to his message, which is, you know, just incredible, and I think it's certainly reflected in the New Testament as well, which, you know, as I mentioned, came later. But I think Pythagoras was a true master, and certainly in terms of the science that he taught and studied and learned. Between his work in mathematics and astronomy, I think he was a true pioneer of modern civilization.
And certainly the knowledge of construction of mathematics, the construction of a building, and of course I'm not lecturing you, James, I'm talking to the audience out there. I mean, certainly mathematics is the basis of the construction of a building. I mean, if you don't understand mathematics, you certainly can't build a magnificent building, the Parthenon, magnificent architecture, which you can still see some of in Athens, but it was perhaps two hundred years after Pythagoras had died, after he had set up a school to teach the mystery of religion, you begin to see this magnificent architecture of Athens and Greece that's reflected in our nation's capital today. We'll be right back.
You're on the jury. The defendant is a doctor accused of mercy killing. The judge's instruction, you must find the doctor guilty if you find he caused the patient's death. Do you? The answer will surprise you. Back in a minute.
Discover America's truth. Citizen Power creates freedom. Send for Hal von Lupert's Citizen Power series, Citizen Arrest, The Grand Jury, and Guerrilla Law, $27. Greeley, Colorado, P.O. Box 837, Citizen Power.
The judge tells the jury that it must obey the law. It does, but the jury is the law. In point of historical fact, the charging of the jury is nothing more than jury tampering by the state. The jury may decide the defendant's guilt by any standard, even that it dislikes the law. That's how the Founding Fathers wanted it. In the United States, the jury has the final word, and there's nothing the court can do.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Got a home project in mind but no idea what kind of tools and equipment you'll need? No worry. Grand Rental Station has knowledgeable, friendly consultants to walk you through the process. The Grand Rental staff of experts will guide you through selecting the right equipment, teaching you how to use it safely and correctly, and suggestions on how to achieve professional results. Give the staff of professionals a call today in Loveland. 970-669-3866. That's 970-669-3866. Rent the equipment. Keep the advice. Grand Rental Station. Don't forget to tell them the KHNC sent you, and you appreciate the support of this station. 970-669-3866.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, James Wasserman. But you know what the average American really doesn't understand is that what you see in Washington, D.C. today, these beautiful buildings with the columns, the pillars, I mean, they're really a replicas in many respects of the ancient architecture of Athens, which was reflection of the presentation of Pythagoras, the information he taught. Pythagoras returned from his visit to the Near East after having consulted the mystics of Egypt and certainly of that region, and we're talking about, 600 B.C., and set up a mystery school, and where he taught these secrets, but only to a very, very few, just as today. Only a very few are ever allowed to see behind the veil. But you pick up the story there, because you're writing a book on Pythagoras.
Yes, what I'm doing is editing. I'm taking a book that was published in 1687 that's using an extremely outdated English language and a very old-fashioned typography. And I'm resetting the book in modern English and Greek, and I'm also trying to modernize the language. So it's a book that was actually written by Thomas Stanley in 1687. It's a real classic. As I say, Manly P. Hall introduced it because he thought it was so critical to modern people in search of ancient wisdom. I think the other thing that makes Pythagoras so interesting and Washington, D.C.'s classical design so interesting is the simplicity that is inherent in the architecture. It's classical, which means that the founders were trying to tell us that this republic is based on ancient principles, and that it would survive the test of time as long as we remain loyal to those principles. And as we all know, those principles are the eternal principles. Honor, surrender to God, a sense of human decency, courage, integrity in business and personal dealings, family, patriotism, the very concepts that seem to be eroding day by day in our modern culture, and which I think my interest in publishing the Secrets of Masonic Washington was to show the content of the art in the city to be hymning and praising these virtues and as an eternal part of America, because without those moral virtues we will lose our freedoms.
Well, of course, the God that you refer to is not necessarily, although you acknowledge it's in part the God of the Bible, it would be really the universal God. It would be the same God for all religions, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. No, that's the very point. And that's what makes Pythagoras so interesting to me, especially reading and spending as much time with this book as I have, because, you know, people will say, oh, the ancient Greeks were polytheistic and they had many gods, or the ancient Egyptians, you know, had a god for this and a god for that and a god for this. That is such a misconception of what the ancient religions were teaching, because they taught that there was one God, the same God that you and I both believe in. I'm Jewish, you're Christian, but we both believe in one God, and all of the other, and the Muslims as well, and the ancient Egyptians and Greeks as well. What they did was they personified that God's different characteristics, so that, you know, when you talked about God who is involved with writing or science or the intellect or mathematics, maybe you would call him Thoth, Tahuti, Hermes, Mercury, any of these various word archetypes. If you were talking about, you know, fortune or increase, you might speak of Amun or Jupiter or Zeus, because it was God wrapping himself in a different costume to it's almost like a bureaucracy that's being run by various departments. I mean, there's one heaven, there's one God, there's one eternity, and it manifests in a multiplicity of different masks and ideals. It's a wonderfully creative approach to religion, but at the same time, when Pythagoras talks about God, you know he is talking about something that is absolutely universal.
In fact, I'll never forget in this story, Ulysses, where probably most of our listeners will don't remember Ulysses, but they did a wonderful motion picture on his life. And of course, he had been at Troy. This is a tradition: the Iliad, the Odyssey, the story of certainly of, and you know, as Ulysses had been a warrior at Troy, and of course he wants to go home to his family, and he is instead being taken on this long voyage from adventure to adventure to adventure, and he wants to go home. That's all he wants, is to go home and be with his wife and return to his kingdom, because of course he is a king. And of course at one point he stands on the beach and he shouts into the wind, why can't I go home? Why are you doing this to me? And this voice booms from the depths, supposedly Neptune, and says, because man cannot live without his gods. Because man cannot live without his gods. And of course, that was the ancient belief, that man needed and of course, they believed, though, in at least the ancient people believed in many gods. Some people, though, who tapped into the ancient wisdom, realized there was simply one God, who is the God of all religions. Would that be a fair appraisal?
I absolutely think so. And maybe, you know, maybe the ignorant were kept in, maybe they did believe in many gods. Maybe, you know, the individual so-called man on the street who can't even tell you the name of the Secretary of State or the Vice President when they do those idiotic interviews on some talk radio stations.
Maybe that
person believed in many gods. But the initiates, the people who really took it seriously, understood that, you know, God has many faces, and we worship him in every human being, in every part of nature, in every part of our religious practice and in our daily lives. I have a graphic design, a book production business, and I feel that my business is a temple, if you will, of God in his aspect of Thoth or Tahuti. I have a picture of him on my business card, and I try to serve when I'm lazy and I'm feeling grumpy, you know, and I don't want to do something right. It comes to my mind that my work here is honoring that aspect of God, and it helps me to correct my failings as a human being to have a higher principle that I serve. And so I do it right, and I smile to myself because I think to myself, yes, I am trying to live my life as if every aspect of it were holy.
Well, of course, in the ancient times, there was the common knowledge for the common man, and then there was the elect who had access to the ancient wisdom. Would that be true today as we carry forward now, 2.5 centuries, 2.5 millennia? There is an elect, there's a very small group who understand that there is the ancient wisdom, there's a portal to it, and of course, then the average individual goes about his life, accepts, what he reads, from the literature that's put out for the common man. But there is a select few who, perhaps through college, perhaps through a master of some sort, following the writings of Mandy P. Hall, has access to this ancient wisdom.
I don't know that. I wish that college, were the answer. I wish that there was a way to teach it, because some of these imbeciles running around the halls of Congress might be really serving a higher wisdom if college were the key. I don't know what the key is, but I absolutely believe you're right that there are people in our society who are guided by truth and wisdom. And, I aspire to be one of them, and I can tell from speaking with you that so do you. Manly P. Hall was a phenomenal gateway for me personally, and I gather for you personally as well. But I think there are many different entrances to this one palace that we both inhabit or are trying to, seek to inhabit. And I think that people come to it different ways. And I know some very wonderful people who have not read Manly P. Hall. Of course, the first thing I do is say to them, boy, you should read Manly P. Hall. You'd love him.
But to be in the world and not know the world is... as to be in a great library and not be able to touch the books. That's how Dan Brown opens his book, The Lost Symbol. Dan, obviously, has read the writings of Mandy P. Hall. And, of course, he utilizes his story, at least as far as we're about half through the book, but he utilizes his story to begin to dramatize the fact that there is the ancient wisdom. Of course, the story is all about the search to access that ancient wisdom. And of course, there's the arch villain, cruel, who would go to any length, a man of fabulous wealth, who wants, of course, access to this. As I think, I believe some people of fabulous wealth today have accessed the ancient wisdom and the power that would be inherent there. Power that most of us would be frightened to death to even try to access. And yet, Sidney, this has been taught. There was a man named Leo Strauss back at the University of Chicago many years ago who actually told his students that, there were certain students who would be told the truth, but the majority of students in philosophy and in every aspect of our society would simply be given one interpretation. But there's a dualistic interpretation of history, of facts, of philosophy. And, of course, you can take exactly the same story and give it different meanings. And, of course, we could talk about Plato's Parable of the Cave, the common interpretation, or, of course, the esoteric interpretation of it, that will lead you into an entirely different world of view. Well, I think it's fascinating, and of course, this carries forward to the architecture of our nation's capital, which you, of course, written extensively about. And the average individual has no idea of the significance of that architecture or really, of course, of its meaning for the destiny of our nation, at least some people's interpretation of the destiny of America, which I feel is rapidly being implemented today. And America is changing. I mean, everybody acknowledges America is changing. Some people think for the better. some people think for the worse, but I don't think anybody can challenge the fact that this is not the America that I was raised in or that you were raised in. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, now you've touched, you know, a very raw nerve for me because this is, you know, I
hold
think
that
my...
thought. Hold that thought. Our guest is James Wasserman. When we get back, we'll tell you how to get his book, and we'll be right back here at the American Freedom Center.
You've heard of it. The hair of the dog that bit you. A solution for your morning woes when you've had too much to drink. Each 12-ounce can of Hair of the Dog provides you with a natural, smooth energy boost and is a good liver detoxifier, even if you don't drink alcohol. To order Hair of the Dog or the 7 other awesome liquid nutrition products, go to www.liquidnutrition.4tgl.com or call 720-494-4663.
How well do you know the law? The situation calls for citizen's arrest, but proving your case seems to require a lawyer. What kind of proof do you need in court? The answer will surprise you. Back in a minute.
Discover America's truth. Citizen power creates freedom. Send for Hal von Lupert's Citizen Power series, Citizen Arrest, The Grand Jury, and Guerrilla Law, $27. Greeley, Colorado, P.O. Box 837. Citizen power.
If you make a citizen's arrest, how is the suspect convicted? In the United States, courtroom proof is not materially different from common sense proof. Evidence may be a photograph, a tape recording, a witness who saw or heard what happened. Even remarks made during commission of the crime, although hearsay, are admissible in court. Proof, however, is the prosecutor's chore. To make citizen's arrest only requires probable cause.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Pine Ridge Garden Landscaping and Marino reminds all parents that children in school meet new friends and experience new situations, some of which involve drugs or alcohol. Young people have now found new drugs called crystal meth and ecstasy. These are very dangerous and deadly, so parents, educate yourself about these and other drugs and talk to your children. Don't let things like curiosity and peer pressure influence your child's life. This message was courtesy of Cassie and Derek at Pine Ridge Garden Landscaping, who say our area is a great place to live, work, shop, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's Pine Ridge Garden Landscaping and Marino, where they're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community.
This is George Flynn. For several years, I was privileged to host the Words of Freedom show here on KHNC. If you've been wanting a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit or non-resident Utah or Florida permit, please note that I've been a firearms instructor since the 1970s and currently conduct concealed carry classes under the banner of Self-Defense Guns. Please visit our website, selfdefenseguns.com, or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
Well, I stand back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess, this morning. Mr. James Wasserman, who's written a fascinating book on the architecture of our nation's capital, I'm sure, a number of books. He is currently rewriting a 1600 book. I think 1687, correct me if I'm wrong, but a book on Pythagoras with a foreword to it by Manly P. Hall. Why would Manly P. Hall, the greatest Masonic philosopher of all time, write a foreword to the book on Pythagoras? Why? Because Pythagoras and his work are seminal to an expose of the ancient wisdom. And really, of course, what we're indebted to Dan Brown for, and whether you agree with his philosophy, his worldview or not, I do not necessarily agree with his worldview, but I think he's a fascinating writer, and I think he is really, of course, bringing forward the fact that the nation's capital has strong esoteric symbolism in it, The average individual goes to Washington, D.C., has no idea what he's witnessing. He doesn't understand the significance of the architecture, of the paintings, of the statuary. Everywhere you look, you see the statues of ancient Greek gods. You'll see all sorts of emblems that have esoteric significance. You see them, but you do not understand them. And it's almost as if they hide their emblems in plain sight. And yet, the average individual, the common man, can't see it. And he wasn't intended to see it. There is an elect, there is the average individual. And people, if you want to understand, this has to be studied. Well, before we go on, James, would you want to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your books?
Well, thank you. My website is called studio31.com. That's studio31.com. And my book, of course, is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at the website for Inner Traditions, which is innertraditions.com.
Give the title of it.
Pardon me?
The title of your book.
Oh, I'm sorry. The title is The Secrets of Masonic Washington.
The Secrets of Masonic Washington, because Washington is laid out in a secret Masonic symbolism, and the average individual is never told that. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, yes, it is. The only slight area that I disagree with you, sir, is that I think the conscious individual, the elect, as you were saying, will understand what each one of the symbols really means, most of them anyway, and you know, we'll look at things like some of the buildings on Federal Triangle and go, oh my goodness, there's like the symbol of the ancient symbol of earth, and there's the ancient symbol of air. But I think that there's a common teaching which was designed to come through to the mind of all people, because at a basic root of the self is, you know, what they call the unconscious mind, which is very responsive to symbols. And I think when you walk through Washington, D.C., your eyes are so filled with images of heroism, freedom, the profound importance of the individual as a component of the American system of government, that I hope that message penetrates people almost no matter how dense they are. I think that's why symbolism is so important, because it communicates to us on a level that we don't necessarily understand with our minds. It communicates directly to our hearts. And I think that the beauty of Washington, D.C. is that there is a message which goes right to the heart. I also think, you know, I just wrote an essay, like a kind of book review on Dan Brown for a new book that's coming out called Secrets of the Lost Symbol, and I have an essay in there, and many other people do also. But one of the things that I said in that essay is that this is, in my opinion, Dan Brown's best book, because the other two, Secrets of Angels and Demons and The Da Vinci Code, were so hostile to religion that I personally am certainly not, you know, Catholic, but I was offended by many of the things that he did in both of those books. On the other hand, this book, in talking about Freemasonry, he has really come to understand something about that universality that you and I are talking about of the ancient wisdom. And he doesn't have this hostile, sort of bitter attitude that we saw in the other two books. So if your listeners are angry with him, and I don't blame them if they are, they might want to take a look at this book, because this book, I think, is truly different.
It really is. In fact, in both the opening page, and it, basically this is when you get to the cover, front and back cover, but certainly there, as you just, the first thing you see when you open the book, pasted to the inside of the hard cover and then the adjacent page is a picture of Washington, D.C., and there you see the Federal Triangle. And, of course, it's really a right-angle triangle, and that was the message of Pythagoras. Pythagoras said, A square plus B square equals C square. The square root of the two sides of a right-angle triangle is equal to the square root of the hypotenuse of the triangle, and that is the basis of modern-day geometry. And there you see, in Washington, D.C., as you look at the picture in Dan Brown's book, which is simply the map of Washington, D.C., starting with the Capitol building, running vertically down to the Washington Monument, to the mall, and then making a right angle, going over to the White House, and then coming back up Pennsylvania Avenue to the Capitol building. You see the classic right angle triangle of Pythagoras. Do you think that was accidental? Do you think that was intentional?
No, I don't think that was accidental at all. I think that these people, Pierre L'Enfant and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, who designed that layout, were well aware of what they were doing and had a very specific reason in mind for that. Now, I think we got lucky along the way, because if you go to the Jefferson Memorial and you see that is also a perfect triangle with the White House, a triangle whose tip is at the Capitol, I think that, you know, somehow or other, Franklin Roosevelt, who in so many ways I really despise his politics.
Hold that thought, James. We'll be back here in just a moment with James Watson, author of The Secret Masonic Washington.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046, 970-482-5046.
The Wild Bird Center in Denver asked, did you drive safely this morning when you saw children along the roadway? It's back to school time again, so let's be careful out there. That's from your friends at the Wild Bird Center, where Candace Stewart and staff are always working to make our area a safer place for our youth. For the highest quality products and friendly service, committed to education and conservation, call today, 758-7575. That's the Wild Bird Center at 1685 South Colorado Boulevard in Denver. Call 758-7575 and mention you heard this community announcement. They wish you a happy and safe fall season.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this morning, James Wasserman. I don't want to take any any questions at the time. I certainly want to get Mr. Wasserman's view, but we were talking about, Sydney, about the federal triangle, and of course a manifestation of the obvious planning, and certainly many people believe that the federal triangle is certainly aligned with the star Cirrus. But then James was talking about the other triangle, another triangle there that was laid out, relationship to the White House and, of course, the Jefferson Monument, which is certainly a memorial. It's certainly, to me, is the most beautiful building in all of Washington, D.C. But anyway, go right ahead. You were talking about you're not a great supporter of FDR, nor am I, but go ahead.
Well, you know, the fact is that he was ultimately responsible for getting the Jefferson Memorial built, and in that sense, he at least did something right. I show in The Secrets of Masonic Washington a plan that was actually drafted in 1902 by a Senate commission called the Macmillan Commission, and they showed the Jefferson Memorial in its present location. So it's kind of interesting, but it could easily have been ruined over those next 30 years, and to FDR's credit, he did not do that. People have pointed out, and you know, it's certainly true geometrically, that if you lay a Masonic compasses and square on that area from the Capitol to the White House, the Jefferson Memorial, and the Lincoln Monument, you actually do have a very elegant placement for the Masonic compasses and square design, and the letter G in that case would fit right on the Washington Monument. So whether that was done on purpose or not is something I certainly don't know. But I think that the Masonic principles of Washington, D.C. are very interesting. You know, the Masons specifically worship that universal God, and they specifically kept the name of that God was one's personal business. So, Jews and Christians and Muslims and Hindus could all join this universal group of wise people without sacrificing their religion and without needing to try to impose it on other people. I think that's really a wonderful ideal. And I think the fact that America has become so much a magnet for people from all over the world is partially due to that, the fact that we have religious freedom in this country. I think that what's going on now, however, is that people are trying to create a situation where America has freedom from religion as opposed to freedom of religion. And I think this is an extremely disturbing modern trend, which is going to only get worse, and why it makes it incumbent on all of us, you know, to fight this with every ounce of our strength, because, you know, as John Adams said, this Constitution and this nation was established for a moral and religious people, and without the self-discipline, you know, that's created by morality and a high sense of ethics, a person cannot be free. A person falls into the need for tyranny. And if we look around at what's going on today with school children being encouraged to sing hymns of praise to the leader of this country, something that in my life at 61 years of age I've never seen anything even close to that.
Agree with that, and I think most of our listening audience would be very concerned about what we see with a situation, with an administration that has far more czars than the Romanovs had when they were when they were ruling Russia in the pre-revolutionary days. As all power goes to Washington, D.C., and as Thomas Jefferson says so well, you know, when all power is in Washington, D.C., we will have a government as venal and tyrannical as the one we recently just separated from. And certainly one of the great minds of all times, a man who delved deeply into the mystery religions, and then, of course, eventually as he grew older, really turned back more or less to the religion of his youth, in the midst of some of what he could not accept, but, of course, he recognized he needed that stability in his life, because, of course, sometimes the search for the ethereal is a very, very frustrating one. Well, certainly, you've got 1 minute to wrap up this morning's program. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners? We'll look forward to having you on our evening program or in a couple of weeks.
Well, thank you. My parting thought is God bless America, and let us all prove ourselves to be worthy of the blessing of liberty with which we have been endowed, but also let us not forget that the blessing of liberty is a responsibility. We need as individuals to work to earn it on a daily, hourly, and moment basis, every day, every moment of our lives. If we're all prepared to do that, this country will remain free.
Well, I only hope and pray that it will. I'm not that optimistic, but we will do our best. I do 5 hours of talk radio a day with that hope that we will, of course, return to the concepts of, at least of many of our founding fathers. And, of course, the people will come to recognize that great spiritual struggle that is taking place today for the hearts of men and the survival of Judeo-Christian civilization. Well, thank you so much. Our guest has been Mr. James Wasserman, author of The Secrets of Masonic Washington. Fascinating read. God bless you. We'll talk to you later. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door to Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you've enjoyed our interview this morning with James Wasson, but I think it's vitally important you understand. Mr. Wasserman's a very nice person. He's coming from a different worldview, and much of what he says I agree with. But he has studied the ancient wisdom and, of course, the ancient secret societies, for many years, as have I. There is a spiritual battle that's taking place today, and that is between those who, of course, embrace the ancient wisdom and those who, because the ancient wisdom gives you great opportunity for wealth and power, but, of course, you must give your allegiance to a different god. If you look at the Masonic symbol of the right angle and the compass, and in the center of the two of them, of course, is the letter G. Now, some people say that is for God. Well, basically, of course, as you get into the upper echelons of Masonry, they finally will tell you the real secret. That is for Gnosticism. Gnosticism is the belief in two gods. And until you understand the fundamentals of Gnosticism and what is going on today, you really can't understand what's going on. Why Barack Obama was elected president, who brought him to the presidency, the actual reason we have a trilateral commission, and certainly the trilateral commission is the modern-day manifestation, in my estimation, of the ancient mysteries. And until you understand they are in total working control of our government, they're leading us towards a terrible, terrible war in the Middle East. It's coming. It's only a matter of time. Their goal is to destroy the very essence of this country, to destroy our agriculture, to destroy our industry, to destroy our timbering industry, to destroy our financial industry, to destroy every aspect of America as they transfer the wealth of this country throughout the world to bring about the Novus Ordo Seclorum described on the back of the dollar bill. But it's the pyramid, the unfinished pyramid that has a capstone but is not in place. But if they have their way, the capstone will be in place. And, of course, that's part of Dan's book, is the capstone, the separate capstone, which, of course, will cap the pyramid, the unfinished pyramid, on the back of the dollar bill. It's all symbolism. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand what's going on. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. We are making an offer. You need a weapon. You need to be able to tell people and explain to them what's going on. I believe my book is as simple a message as you'll find any place to make this come to life, make it real, and hopefully to lead people to our Lord. We're making a special offer where you can get 60 copies of the book. Ordinarily, they market at $12.95 each. You get 60 copies for a little over $2 a copy. That's $149.95. You will help me in my message because we need to keep the book in print. And if we get 50 people, we'll put the book in print and back in print, and you'll get your 60 copies. If you call in, we will put in your credit card number until such time as we have adequate support to get the book printed. So if you'd like to get a copy, a case of Brotherhood of Darkness, so you can sell, you can hand out, you can do whatever you want to, use them as gifts or presents. We need to get the book back in print. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget our all-day conference on the 25th of October. I'll be gone tomorrow and Monday, and then till Tuesday. May the Lord be with you.
Evangelist and Pastor Samuel Santos will be holding meetings in the Loveland, Colorado area during the month of October. Listen to the American Freedom Network, KHNC 1360 AM, for more.